Hi, I'm Meg.
Hi, I'm Karen, and this is the Tranquility Tribe. So, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Tonight we have got a wonderful guest with us, Julie, who's very gracefully ex... gracefully accepted our offer of coming on to do a podcast. Very interestingly, Julie's had twins quite late on, really, and then gone into menopause. So we thought this might be a bit of an interesting discussion, slightly to the side of, you know, what we've been doing so far.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks Hi, for
Julie.
Coming in, Julie.
Hello. Hi. So, Julie, tell us a little bit about your experience, you know.
Yeah. Well, I did have twins very late. I already had two older children, and I had twins when I was 45. And hadn't quite factored in to that decision to have twins at that age that I would be essentially masking some of the perimenopause symptoms. I've breastfed them for a long time. I breastfed them till they were four. So I was, by that point, 49 when I stopped feeding them. And I literally, my hormones just dropped off a cliff. It was just a shock. And I just hadn't factored it in. I was exhausted, I was drained, I was depleted from all the feeding, from all the basically surviving, having twins at my age. And I just felt absolutely terrible for a while. And it just, I'd had friends go through it and friends talk about their symptoms, and mine just snuck up on me, if you like, because I think the feeding masked it for quite a while.
What do you feel was masked by?
I think the breastfeeding hormones, they get they're like feel good hormones, aren't they? That keep you going and keep you afloat. And as soon as that was out of my system, then it was just like, oh sugar. I just remembered the no swear rule. Oh sugar, this is not feeling great. And the symptoms, the rage, the impatience, the frustration, the exhaustion, just feeling up and down like I was on a constant roller coaster, like I was almost permanently premenstrual.
So was it just, the point that you stopped breastfeeding then? So that was where...
very, very soon after that, that's where it started to really kick on. Because I think before I had the girls, I had assistants to have the girls. And before I had them, I was probably starting to creep into perimenopause then, but I hadn't really thought about it.
Yeah.
Because I was just blindly... following through with the plant of the girls. And then when all those hormones left my system, it was like, oh, that's what was already happening. Here we go. And it literally just felt like getting on a roller coaster. And I felt like my body and my hormones were all over the place, and I didn't know myself, and I hadn't educated myself either, which was a massive thing. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I think a lot of people my age, I think people younger are talking about it a lot more, but I certainly think all through my 20s and 30s and all my most fertile years, I had very little knowledge of my own cycles.
I agree.
Very little understanding of what was happening to my own body. And I didn't have the tools to sort of know what was going on and to realise and notice these changes and understand them and know how to handle them.
Because a lot of the symptoms are so subtle and... would come anyway with pregnancy and exhaustion from
absolutely and just surviving four years of twins itself.
Wow.
How long do you I mean, I don't know if you're aware or not, but from actually stopping breastfeeding and going into, was it sort of full-on perimenopause?
It felt like pretty quick.
Okay. What was the sort of stabilization period where things started to settle down a little bit after you'd gone on the roller coaster?
I was in the midst of the roller coaster, trying to think when it was, but it was definitely sometime in the midst of COVID, because I remember ringing the doctor and begging them for some help, and them saying instantly, which I know, again, has happened to lots of women, them turning around and saying, oh, would you like some antidepressants? And me saying, no, thank you. I don't think I'm depressed. I think this is another reason, kind of explaining my circumstances and explaining why I felt there was a different reason. And I begged them essentially for HRT. And they eventually agreed. And then I went and picked up the prescription, took it home, sat with it on the desk, and then went, not sure I want to do that route. That's not it's not my thing. I've got a great belief that symptoms of anything or a signal that something's out of balance. And I didn't want to mask those symptoms. I kind of wanted to ride the wave,
yeah.
I guess. I wanted to see what's happening with my body.
That's incredibly brave.
I just didn't want to cover it up and cover the symptoms and then not know what was happening and then not be able to handle it further down the line. So I basically set to on a journey of discovery, and like I usually do with anything, it was just like, right, get some books, start reading. Yeah. And that's when I started to learn a lot more about my body, about my cycles that I'd been having for years regularly and never really thought about. And also about what happens in perimenopause and what happens to your hormones and what happens generally in the whole process. But one really good book, I don't know if you've heard of it, is Kate Codrington, Second Spring.
Okay.
And I absolutely loved the way it was described. She describes the menstrual cycle in terms of the seasons, the four elements and different periods and the phases you go through. So I think winter is when you're actually menstruating, and that's a time that you're not necessarily supposed to be skating around in white jeans with Tampax. Actually, you're supposed to be in doing the hibernation, the winter things.
Yes.
And the ovulation is your summer, and that's when you have more energy, and that's when you can be more active and more productive and that kind of thing. And that actually translates into the perimenopause, into the idea that your perimenopause is your autumn going into winter of your fertile years. But the real positive thing of the way she explains it is that it's a time for reflection. It's a time to understand yourself, get to know yourself better, look at what bits of your life you want to keep, what bits actually you want to change and get rid of. And it felt really empowering and really, really encouraging, because the whole title, Second Spring, means that obviously after your winter, you get the second spring.
Absolutely.
And that being postmenopausal is not like that's it, you're on the scrap heap.
It's this awakening again, isn't it? You know, yes.
Yeah, it's an empowering, your postmenopause years can be flipping great. And if you use the menopause, that journey, to decide what works for you and what doesn't, and to set your priorities and your boundaries, setting boundaries has been a big thing for me as well. And just take care of yourself. It's been really empowering. So that when you asked the question about when did I find this balance, it was when I started to read all this and then act on it and look after myself. So I overhauled my diet, I started to look at my lifestyle and how I, sleep hygiene, all those basic things, just to all the cornerstones of just health, which I've kind of ignored and brushed under the carpet a lot because I've been running around bringing up children, looking after everybody else but myself. It was like a real, okay, now's the time to stop and pause and reflect and work out what I need.
That's amazing. And I love the way that you've used that word, empowering, because by taking that power back and saying, no, I'm going to do this myself, it might be the harder way, but really take that holistic approach. And
the holistic thing, that's always been really important to me. But it is, for me, it's that observing it. I didn't want to mask it because I wanted to observe it and know where I was at with it. And now, because it has empowered me, because now I feel like I've ridden out the worst storms of the storm. And now I still have them, it's not like an easy ride every day. I still have times when I get really stressy. If you ask Olivier how the journey's been, he might tell us like a different story. I have my moments still, don't we all? But it's definitely, I've definitely managed things a lot better, and I've put lots of things into my life, lots of practices and routines into my life that help me stay calm and balanced and I can be true to myself and not react. I'm more proactive rather than reactive to things, I think.
What do you feel about sort of society in general with women and moving into very much the perimenopause phase? Do you feel like most people around you are very looking for a very natural way of working with this, or is it easier to just get in it and get out of it?
I think a real positive is that people are talking about it. Mm. It's very, very, so much more open now. I've had a conversation with my mum about how it was for her, and she was like, oh, I just survived it. And and she, you know, some horror stories about times when her bleeding was so heavy she couldn't go out the house and things like that. But she just navigated it, and she said none of her friends, they never really talked about it or shared it. And I think that's a massive change. So I think it's very much open, and in the workplace, it's fine to just say, you know, I'm having a bit of a day, or, you know, I sometimes get through halfway through a sentence in a meeting at work and I forget what I'm saying. But I'll just smile and say, sorry, I'm of a certain age, got stuff going on. And everyone goes, yeah, that's fine, we get it. And everyone's really lovely about it. And I think that openness is brilliant. But in terms of how people handle it, I think everyone handles it differently. And people are under a lot of strain and pressure to just get on with life. And so I'm not judgmental of anybody for the path that they take. And HRT works amazingly for lots of people. And I've got loads of friends. Most of my friends probably have gone down that route. And it's helping them. And that's fine. They've got busy lives. They've got pressures. They perhaps haven't got the time. I feel like very fortunate that I've had the support to enable me to take what possibly could be the tougher route, but I've got the support network there that's enabled me to do that. But yeah, it's not the case for everybody, and so yeah, a sticking plaster of something that will just get you through.
Sure,
it makes sense. And I've got friends that are really struggling with things like sleep, and if you're sleep deprived, you know, waking up with hot flushes every night and you can't sleep, and then it just builds up, doesn't it?
It does.
And that, and if you're surviving like that, then absolutely, whatever goes, whatever gets you through, basically. But the more we talk and the more we share that actually there are different options, and not everybody has to do that option. You can do what works for you, do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it's
exactly
the more conversations there are around it, the better, is my view. And the more information there is out there sharing things like books you've read, and I've passed that book around so many people. It's well thumbed.
And I think you're incredibly right. That's the whole reason why we started this in the first place, so that we could start and generate a conversation that would spark and bring some curiosity into lots of women's awareness around the possibility that there are many, many ways to go through this, and many ways in which, or many routes that you could go down, really.
And the support network is massive, though, isn't
Absolutely.
It? And so having those spaces where you can talk about this, obviously I do chat to my friends about it, but having a specific place where you can go and you can connect with people who are thinking and talking about the same things and share these experiences in a non-judgmental way, just in a supportive way, is, I think, is invaluable.
I do too.
Good. More of that, please.
Brilliant.
Lovely. Well, last bits, Julie. Any advice for anybody that's maybe starting off down the perimenopause, menopause route?
I think just inform yourself. There's so many podcasts out there. There's so many people out there that are talking about this now. You can go on podcasts and Google and just search, and there's so many people that are talking about so many good things. Kate Codrington is amazing, so I highly recommend that book if anyone wants to read that.
Sure.
But yeah, just talk to people, find out what other people are doing, and know that you have choices.
Wonderful. Right.
Thank you so much. That's really brilliant.
Thanks, Julie. That's great. Thank you so much.